I've already heard it 3 or 4 times this morning from coworkers, friends, and family who have said, "My God, I still think it's. I keep thinking it's Monday because of the holiday." Well, it's not. It's Tuesday, which is why we have two wonderful booksellers on our program today from two wonderful bookstores to tell us about wonderful books that we should pay attention to. Let me introduce them to you, and we will get started. Kim Van Alkamada is from Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York, and Manchester Center, Vermont. And Kim, it's a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Nice to see you. We also welcome Amy Zimmerman from Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, New York, for our selections this week. Hello, Amy. How are you?
Hello. Very excited to be here.
Are we good on 4? Is that? Oh, okay, good. Excellent. Just wanted to make sure we had, I saw a furrow in the brow. I just wanted to make sure we were okay. We're good. All right. Who would like to begin? Amy.
Yeah, I can start us off. So first up, we're going to do two fantastic new novels about women on the verge, everyone's favorite genre. Both of these books brilliantly capture the quicksand experience of mothering young children. Both of our protagonists have unresolved pasts and uncertain futures. They search for external solutions to their internal problems, soothing existential cravings with online orders, extramarital crushes, white wine, and overpriced organic goods at the local co-op. Kind of relatable, right? Maybe even boring. Well, don't worry, because there's also stolen identities, missing cats, and murder. The first book in this pair is Mad Woman by Chelsea Beaker. This is an author who I really love. Her debut novel, Godshot, about a teenager trapped in a strange and sinister cult, is a book that I often return to for its striking imagery and brutally honest coming of age. In Mad Woman, Beaker's talent for unsettling readers remains, albeit smuggled aboard a more commercial vehicle. This novel is about Clove, a young mother who's desperate to hold on to her perfectly calibrated life. Repressing flashbacks of who she used to be, including the dark secret at the heart of her story, she becomes increasingly obsessed with keeping up appearances, convinced that buying whatever child-rearing accessory the mommy blogs recommend will help keep her family safe. Of course, daily online shopping deliveries can't help when the call is coming from inside the house. Clove's past asserts itself violently, and our protagonist's already shaky grasp on reality teeters and falls as we learn more about the truly remarkable circumstances she escaped from and the desperate measures she will take to evade them. And then, kind of closing out this pair, Small Wonder by Eileen Kelly is another thriller about young motherhood, a book where readers get to parse which threats are real and which are invented. In this novel, Tina, a 30-year-old preschool teacher and single parent in Brooklyn, is similarly struggling to maintain any semblance of domestic order. With rents and tides rising, she feels perilously close to extinction. Enter a handsome new single dad on the playground scene. Has he arrived to rescue Tina and save the day, or to sink the life raft she's just barely holding on to? I loved how both of these books elevate the internal dramas and chaos of motherhood, creating real-world reckonings where the stakes are truly as high as they feel. At the same time, due to the heightened emotional states of their protagonists, both novels are able to play with a sense of unreality. We might relate to these women and deeply empathize with their situations, but we don't necessarily trust them. For the length of the novel, we're basically held captive in their shaky, paranoid POVs. It's a thrilling ride if you can stomach it. We're also lucky enough to be having an event with Eileen Kelly at the Chatham Bookstore on Saturday, September 21st, so you can come by to talk about Brooklyn parenting and serial killers.
What a mix. So it's Small Wonder by Eileen Kelly, that event on September 21st. Very cool. Next up.
Well, at the Northshire in Saratoga Springs, I tend to focus on historical fiction and literary fiction, and I really appreciate especially historical fiction that has an expansive and inclusive view of gender identity and sexuality. So I'm going to start you off with Rough Trade by Katrina Carrasco, and it's this really rollicking historical crime mystery with a very diverse cast of characters. And it's set on the old hardscrabble waterfront in Tacoma, Washington, in the time of union workers and outlaws, journalists and lawmakers, and they all rub elbows aboard ships and in dive bars and back rooms. and there are different secrets. They shape alliances, and there's betrayals. And the main character is Alma, who's a really compelling protagonist. And it's a sequel to an earlier book in which we met Alma, but you don't need to read the first book at all. This really stood on its own. It made me want to go back to read the first book, The Best Bad Things, but Rough Trade stands on its own, and Alma is, she used to be a law woman, and now she's an outlaw running a gang involved in the opium trade, where some people get rich and others get mired in addiction, and it really echoed a lot of concerns that felt relevant for today, and it just took me back to a different time and place. But from a really fresh perspective. So that was something I really liked about it.
Very cool. It is called Rough Trade by Katrina Carrasco. Amy.
Yeah, so my next few picks are going to all be from Sharon, our bookstore owner, who I think is physically incapable of passing up the opportunity to recommend a book or five books. So first, she's recommending You Only Call When You're in Trouble by Stephen McCauley. This book came out earlier this year, but it was featured at this past weekend's book fair at the Spencertown Academy, which was totally fabulous. And Stephen McCauley was such a delightful presence, we really need to give another shout out. The plot centers on Dorothy, a single mother looking to recreate a Woodstock-based wellness center out of a ludicrously inappropriate barn. Tom, her gay architect brother, who is facing professional and personal challenges, and her 30-something professor daughter, Cecily, who is caught up in a sexual misconduct investigation that threatens to derail her career. McCauley has a deceptively light touch. There are lots of maliciously funny observations about academia, architecture, and rich people, but the book is actually grappling with some dark themes. McCauley's characters are well-meaning but flawed, and I was truly touched by the artful way he depicts how we love but fail one another. I expected this book to be a fun, easy read, but I was genuinely moved by the characters, and I found the semi-hopeful ending to be both satisfying and realistic.
Really good stuff. Just talked to him last week. And if you want to listen to our interview, it was a pretty good one. He's a fascinating writer, and the name of the book is You Only Call When You're in Trouble by Stephen McCauley. All right.
All right. So sticking with, kind of old-time historical but really fun books, I'll talk about a book that full title is A True Account, Hannah Missouri's Sojourn Amongst the Pirates, written by herself, but it's really written by Catherine Howe. And it was a supremely entertaining novel that I felt had it all. It was adventuresome 1700s seafaring girls, yes. Intrepid 1930s lesbian academics, yes. Dastardly pirate villains, ambitious schemers, foul-mouthed parrots, hard-drinking explorers, and unlikely romance. It had all of these things. And on top of fast-paced plot twists and lush and really descriptive prose and visceral historical details, there was a surprise ending that, you know, you get to the end of the book and you're like, yes, everything. Like, I didn't expect it, but totally satisfying. And I really enjoyed it. It's cleverly layered and a kind of rollicking tale from the first page to the last.
Good stuff. And who's the author again?
Catherine Howe.
Catherine Howe is the author of the new book, A True Account, Hannah Massaries.
Thank you.
Is that how you pronounce it? Sojourn Against the Pirates, and written by herself by Catherine Howe.
Yes.
All right.
So next up, still working off Sharon's recommendations, we have Entitlement by Rumin Alam. We love a juicy beach book, but now it's fall and time to snuggle in with some more serious reads. I actually don't think it's technically fall, but we're getting there. Yeah. We're going to start with yet another powerful novel by Rumin Alam, the author of Leave the World Behind. His new book, coming out September 17th, is called Entitlement. And as the title suggests, it tackles the extreme disparities of wealth and privilege in our country. It takes place over one hot New York summer, where Brooke, a young Black woman, has recently been hired to work at a family philanthropy funded by Asher Jaffe, an elderly white billionaire. Brooke's job is to find ways to give away Asher's money, with a goal of changing the world for the better. Asher and Brooke form a kind of bond, a working relationship that gradually becomes something else. Old rich man, young beautiful woman. This is a plot we've seemingly read so many times before, but Alam is doing something different here. There's more going on than just an indictment of late-stage capitalism or a critique of the patriarchy. For me, the key was in the author acknowledgments. The last sentence caused me to go back and rethink the entire novel. I won't say what it was. I'll leave it to all the avid readers out there to discover and hopefully then come into the store to discuss.
Excellent. Good stuff. Next up.
Well, a new book that I really enjoyed lately is called The Briar Club by Kate Quinn. She's the author of The Alice Network, which I think was her big breakthrough hit. And I just love all of her historical fiction. This one, The Briar Club, it's a really fast-paced, plot-driven story about a disparate group of women, each with a secret to hide, and they're living together at the Briar Club, which is a boarding house in Washington, D.C., during the McCarthy era. And the setting, I felt it really resonated in our own sort of political times. The references were pointed but not belabored. And so as I was reading, I was thinking about contemporary things but not taken out of the moment. And the bonds of friendship that form between the women prove stronger than anything that could drive them apart, even a double murder, which is how the book starts. So it's a really fun, smart, fast read, really nice prose. I just highly recommend it.
It is The Briar Club by Kate Quinn. I moved on to The Briar Club without back-selling Amy's last book, which is called Entitlement, by Rumam Alan, and so apologies for that.
No,
I didn't
want to,
because we will get letters of saying you did not mention the name of that book, and I want to know. Okay.
So I'm sure listeners are well aware of Michael Lewis's Going Infinite.
Yes.
Yeah, big deal at the time it was originally published. Landed in bookstores last October, just before the trial of the main character, Sam Bankman-Fried. Lewis had spent several months following Sam, who at one point was one of the world's youngest billionaires and a star in the cryptocurrency world. The book ended just as Sam's crypto world was collapsing. So that book launch was either amazing or terrible timing, depending how you think about it. I think probably pretty amazing for the author. But the general sense was that Lewis had produced a very gentle portrait of a man who arguably was responsible for one of the biggest frauds of the century. Certainly, the judge and the jury at his trial felt this way. He was sentenced to 25 years in prison. This book has just come out in paperback, and what's interesting is that Michael Lewis has updated this edition with a long afterword explaining what he thinks he got wrong. Spoiler, he doesn't actually think he got anything wrong. But he does offer a nuanced and thoughtful take on the entire experience of writing the book and the aftermath. If you followed the trial or are interested in learning more, I would still recommend this book, especially with the new insights.
Michael Lewis is the author of Going Infinite, now out in paperback. Okay, Kim.
Well, a book that I read that at the end of it, I wept, which doesn't happen very often because when you read a lot of books, you learn to anticipate plot twists and story, and it's hard to be kind of swept off your feet a little bit.
You become jaded.
A little jaded, but The Night in Question by Susan Fletcher just cut through all of that and really got to me. It's just one of the most authentic and touching stories I've read in years. It's a really gorgeous exploration of aging, love, courage, and forgiveness, all wrapped up in this clever whodunit bow. So at 87 years old, our main character, Flory Butterfield, seems to be at the end of her life story. But as she investigates a death at the assisted living home where she resides in England, her globe-trotting past unfolds in these captivating vignettes that remind us of the long reach of past trauma while showing it's never too late to heal old wounds and embrace the future. And it really burrowed into my soul. And I just can't say, I turned that last page and I was like, sometimes there's a theme through a book that you're noticing and you don't know it's going to pay off like that at the end. And just thinking about it's making me a little teary. So The Night in Question.
The Night in Question by Susan Fletcher. All right.
Ooh, I really want to read that book.
It's wonderful.
So I have Sharon's final recommendation, which is very appropriate for the changing seasons, and it's Daisy the Daydreamer. This is a good back-to-school book for little kids who might sometimes struggle to concentrate, meaning most to all kids. Daisy is a daydreamer. She has big thoughts that sometimes keep her from paying attention. The teacher realizes this, and instead of shaming Daisy, she recognizes her abilities in a special way. The illustrations in this book are clever, especially the teacher, who is a collage of dictionary pages. I think this is a fun book that might really resonate for kids who love to dream and perhaps have trouble focusing in school. It allows them to be seen and understood.
Daisy the Daydreamer by Jennifer Goldfinger. Excellent. Okay. Kim.
So another historical novel set in the 1960s in the Netherlands is called The Safe Keep by Yael van der Wouden. And it just is magnificent. It was recently nominated for the Booker Prize, and I'm not surprised. It's a novel that distills global themes of displacement, erasure, survival, and reconciliation, but it brings them all together into this single house in the Netherlands, and these two young women who are drawn to each other despite all the secrets that ought to keep them apart. Like I said, it's 1961. Isabel and Eva, they've each survived World War II, only to find themselves isolated and alone. And then Isabel's careless brother kind of throws them together into this house that Isabel's family, Isabel grew up in this house, and she's the one left living in it. She wants to possess it and inherit it, but it's not really hers. It sort of belongs to her brother. But the question of who it really does belong to is what drives this kind of slow burn of a plot that's just beneath all this really sensuous prose, and it builds slowly but relentlessly to this stunning revelation. And I felt it was even more radical because it's so domestic, just two people, one house, but it's this whole huge story. And I was really mesmerized from the first page to the last.
Great stuff. So that is
The Safe Keep.
The Safe Keep, and I want to get the author's name correct, but Yael van der Wouden?
Yeah, I think I would say van der Wouden.
Wouden?
Yeah, that's
all right.
A little bit of Dutch from my dad's side of the family.
Yeah, that's good. We'll go full circle on that. Sure. Excellent. Amy.
Yeah, when we were talking before, I was saying The Safe Keep is one of these books. Mm-hmm. This will happen where just suddenly a book, everyone seems to be talking about mm-hmm. it. And over the weekend, I think two or three people mm-hmm. all recommended that book to me. So stellar recommendation. So I'm going to do my last pick. One of the many, many joys of bookselling is learning every day that the world is so much bigger than our own pet interests and areas of expertise. I picked up this book, Ethan Tapper's How to Love a Forest, because of an upcoming event with the author. I am not a nature girly myself, and I truly cannot emphasize enough how unlikely I was to pick up this book otherwise. Well, the joke is on me. This might be the only book I've ever read about foresting, but it's also my favorite book that I've ever read about foresting. Well, there's no shortage of forest facts and gorgeous descriptions of ecosystems and how they function. I was continuously struck by the larger themes and revelations that this book taps into, the forest as learning tool and metaphor. I think Tapper articulates this far better than I can, so this is a brief passage from a moment early on in the book where he is considering a diseased tree that is monopolizing the forest resources, a legacy of human exploitation, thanks to loggers who took the area's healthiest trees and left the rest behind. "I lay a gloved hand on the beech's trunk," Tapper writes. "As the chainsaw idles beside me, a part of me wants the beech to live, to believe that this forest will thrive even if I do nothing. It is not true. In this changed and changing world, we are offered choices that are nuanced and unclear, bittersweet and shadowed with compromise. I remind myself that there is nothing radical about doing what is easy and convenient and comfortable, nothing radical about doing nothing. I remind myself that what is truly radical is to do what is necessary to build a better world. I brace the saw and pull it to life."
Great stuff. How to Love a Forest by Ethan Tapper. Okay. Kim.
So the final book that I brought to recommend is called Beauty Land by Marie-Helene Bertino. And I just loved this quirky novel. It's about a bright girl from Philadelphia who sees the people and places around her from a really distinct vantage point because Edina, our main character, is an alien sent to Earth to observe and report on the human species by faxing her droll yet keen observations back to her home planet. And whether that is the true truth or just Edina's truth does not matter, because you just get drawn into seeing the world from this point of view. And her story unfolds across four decades as she processes the contradictions that make humanity such a bafflingly yet ultimately beautiful species. And Edina's engaging voice and the generous cast of characters, they just kept me emotionally engaged until this inevitable and poignant ending. It's a lovely novel. New York Times, one of their best books of 2024 so far. And really fresh perspectives on family and friendship and love and loss. And just so original. Beauty Land.
Beauty Land is the name of the new book. And all great stuff. It's by Marie-Helene Bertino. Anything else that we have about a minute? Anything, any events or anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'll just plug those two events that were linked to those book picks. So How to Love a Forest by Ethan Tapper. This upcoming Sunday, we're partnering with the Columbia Land Conservancy on a nature walk, followed by a reading and signing. And then Eileen Kelly, the author of Small Wonder, that fabulous thriller, will be doing something with her at the bookstore on the 21st.
Kim?
And we have so many events coming up in between the Manchester, Vermont location of Northshire and the Saratoga Springs location. So you definitely have to check out our website, northshire.com. And just looking a little bit ahead, October 4th is Saratoga Book Festival, and Northshire is a supporting partner in that. And there'll be authors and we'll be selling books, and it'll be a really great book event weekend in Saratoga Springs.
Very much looking forward to that. I'll be interviewing Liz Moore at UPH.
Excellent.
And I'm looking forward to that. It'll be quite an event. All right.
Her book is great.
It is. It's great stuff. And it's solidly on the bestseller list as it deserves to be. My thanks to both of our booksellers this morning. Kim Van Alcamada is from Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York, and Manchester Center, Vermont. Amy Zimmerman is from the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, New York. You can find out more at chathambookstore.indielight.org. You can go to, is that right? It doesn't seem right, but it is right.
It doesn't seem right, but it is right.
Okay. And Northshire.com for more information. You can also see all of the lists posted on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Thank you both for being with us. A great pleasure as always.
Thank you.
We'll speak soon. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.